probably all three of those a little bit, and we'll be dealing tonight with a subject matter that I think is very important. We as believers and the things that added up came up to that, and I pray that the Lord will use the message tonight to help us to understand how important it is to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if they do not listen or do not hear, it is our responsibility to tell them. And some will believe, some will reject, and some will just put it off on the back burner for a while and maybe forget about it. But our responsibility is to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, we'll just start in verse number 10 of Acts chapter 25. We'll refer back a little bit in chapter 24, and then we'll have a lot there in chapter 26. chapter 25 of Acts, and verse number 10, this is where Paul is appearing in his latter part of his life and appearing before these men that will judge him, and he appeals before Caesar. It says in verse 10 of Acts 25, "Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. For the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest." Now, Paul has been accused of some things that was unlawful to the people of Israel. He's been accused of the high priest of doing things, and back in chapter 24, in verse number 5, we find the man that Tertullus that is bringing accusation against Paul. He says, "For we have found this man a pestilent fellow." I can just imagine that the Apostle Paul, to the unbelieving crowd, to the religious crowd around him, I'm sure he was probably a pestilent fellow. He just bothered them because of his message and because of the manner of his life. And he said, "We found him, this man, a pestilent fellow, a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also hath gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain Lysias came upon us, and with great violence took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come unto thee by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge all these things whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also asserted, saying that these things were so." So here we find in chapter 24 the accusations that are made. In chapter 25, Paul says, "I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged." He said this is where that the judgment should be made, not of the Jews, but from the Gentiles. And he tells them, he said, "I have done no wrong, as thou well know." Now notice verse 11. "For if I be offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die, but if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal to Caesar." Now, this was very important in Paul's life. Paul was a Roman citizen. He was not only a Jew, but he was a free Roman citizen. And that awarded him some legalities and some things that were available in his life that maybe were not available to some others. And he said, "I appeal to Caesar." And really what he was saying, he said, "I appeal to the court of Rome, and there they will judge me." And he says in verse 12, "Then Festus," this is the man that he's standing before, the judge, he says, "when he had conferred with the council, answered, Hast thou appealed to Caesar? Unto Caesar thou shalt go. And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king, saying, There is a certain man left in bonds by Felix, about whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him. To whom I answered, It is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that he which is accused have his accusers face to face, and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him." And when Paul appealed to Caesar, this is the area that he had the right for his accusers to stand before him and stand face to face and hear the accusations that's given, and so that he could answer for himself. And so here Festus is explaining to Agrippa the condition of why Paul has been left in prison. You'll find back in chapter 24 that he's been there in verse 27. He'd been there for 2 years. So he's appealed to Caesar. He's been accused, and he now goes before Felix. And the Bible, of course, tells us that Felix trembled at the answer, and he told him, said, "You go your way. At a more convenient time, I'll listen to you again on this." And here, I believe the Holy Spirit dealing with Felix concerning his soul, and he said, "I will call for thee at a more convenient time." But as far as we know, there never was a convenient time for him. That's why it's very important when a person hears the gospel that they make a decision or an understanding, that they know that they must stand before the Lord one day. And here Felix said, "I'll do it some other time." He put it off. And as far as we know, he never did come to that position again of being under conviction of the Holy Spirit. And so now we find he's been in prison, in jail for 2 years. He has certain liberties given to him. He was really not under confinement as such as a lot of prisoners were. He had a lot of liberties given to him because he was a Roman citizen. But now we find that he is talking to Festus, and now King Agrippa comes, and he explains all the things that we've read here tonight concerning his imprisonment. And really, what Festus wanted to do is just get him out of his hair, so he could be cleared of that and send him somewhere else. And so King Agrippa comes and he hears the story. And now in chapter 26 is our main text tonight, of where Agrippa hears the defense that Paul gives for himself. This is one of the greatest trials of history. This is an important historical event that literally did happen. It's not just a Bible story. It's not an illustration. This happened in Paul's life, and he stood and he made certain things and certain statements that's very important in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Now, we don't have time tonight, but it would be good if we could read all these 32 verses and note the words that Paul gave to Agrippa and how that the Lord used that. And we notice in verse number 28, this is a very familiar verse of Scripture in the book of Acts, and of course he has heard Paul's testimony, he's heard Paul's message, and the Bible says in verse 28, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Well, what a sad commentary on the life of a king that was there for the Jews. He was there for them out of the Roman Empire. And here the Apostle Paul gives him his testimony. He hears the Word of God and hears how that Paul comes to know the Lord and all the things that's involved. And when it comes down to the last portion of the Scripture, King Agrippa says to Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." We have in our songbook the book, "Almost Persuaded." Almost will not prevail. Almost is not enough. It's not enough to be almost. But Paul, as we read here, he says, "I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I, except these bonds." Paul told Agrippa, he said, "I wish that you was not almost, but I wish you were altogether as I." And of course, Paul talking about his salvation. So Paul has faced Felix, and he spends 2 years in prison. He goes before Festus. He goes before Agrippa. And tonight I want us to think about almost is not enough. Or maybe a man that had opportunity, but he lost the opportunity of a lifetime. He had every opportunity to be a child of God. He had every thing given to him by the Apostle Paul that would open the way of salvation to him if he would have just accepted. And he came down to the point, "Almost thou persuadest me." And so tonight I want us to think about this man that lost his opportunity and how that almost is not enough. Paul given opportunity to speak in chapter 26, verse 1. And then Agrippa said to Paul, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Now you don't tell the Apostle Paul and give him permission to speak for himself if you don't want a good speech or really a message. And so the Bible says here, "Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself." And so beginning in verse number 2 all the way through, we find the testimony of this man, the Apostle Paul, of how the Lord had dealt in his heart and in his life. Now here we find that in chapter 26, we find there's a king who recognized the truth. When King Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian," there was a part in his life and a portion of his soul that recognized that Paul had given him truth, and that Paul had explained to him the wonderful glories of salvation. And Paul realized that this king, he was no stranger to the Jews' ways, and he was no stranger to the Hebrew people, because he says in verse number 2, Paul says, "I thank myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things whereof I am accused of the Jews." Especially, now notice how Paul uses his words here. He said, "Especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews, wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently." Paul says to King Agrippa, he said, "I know that you're no stranger to the customs of the Jews." Now, when you read the Bible, you'll find that God made the Jew a different people. They were a called out people. They were a separated people. They were a people that had certain rules and certain regulations given to them by God that set them aside, made them different, and even made them a hated people because of their customs. And so Paul comes to speak for himself to King Agrippa, and he said, "King, I know that you're no stranger." He said, "I know that you're an expert in all the customs and questions which are among the Jews." And he said, "I beseech you to hear me patiently." So Paul recognized, and Paul put King Agrippa, really, by his words, he put him in the position of having authority over Paul, because Paul said, "I know you understand what I'm going to deal with. And I know that you are accustomed to the things that we have, and no stranger to the things of the Jews." Agrippa knew something about the Scriptures, and in verse number 27, Paul says, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." Paul puts Agrippa the pressure on him even more. "Not only do you know the customs of the Jews, but King Agrippa, I know you know some things about the Word of God. You know some things about the Scripture." And he said, "I know you believe those things." And so here's a man that is not a foreigner to all of the spiritual aspects of the Jewish people. Here's a man that understood their customs, understood their ways, and even knew some things about the Scripture that had been given to them and the prophets. In verse number 24 through verse number 26, we find that Paul says, "And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself." Here's Festus, the man that's turned him over to King Agrippa, and he hears what Paul has said, and he says, "Paul, you're beside yourself." Really, what he's saying, "Paul, you're just mad. Paul, you'd have no understanding." And he says, "Much learning doth make thee mad." But he said, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth these things, before whom I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing is not done in a corner." Paul says, "King Agrippa, whom I'm speaking to, he understands what I'm talking about. I believe he had some understanding about who Jesus Christ was. I believe King Agrippa had a realization of what Paul was dealing with and the things that he gives to them." Festus gets beside himself and gets all angry and upset. But really and truly, Paul wasn't addressing Festus. He was addressing the king who was over Festus. Festus really had no right to say anything, because he had turned judgment over to the king, King Agrippa, and he's heard all that he can hear, And he just sort of loses it, and he says, I'll tell you, you're mad. Much learning has made you mad. You're beside yourself, Paul. There's something wrong with you. You know, there's always those folks that think there's something wrong with us because of what we believe. The things that we stand for, they think we're crazy. We're just out of touch with reality. But Paul says, I'm not mad, but I speak forth the words of truth and soberness, for the king knoweth these things. So he put it right back on the king. He says, the king knows what I'm talking about, and the king knows that I'm telling the truth. So here's a king that recognized the truth. Here's a man in authority of the Roman government that understood what Paul was saying about the customs of the Jews. He understood about the Lord Jesus Christ. He understood the Scriptures. He understood some of the Word of God. And so Paul uses that for his defense. And what better defense do we have than that people know about the Lord and people know the Word of God and people know our manner of life? And so here we find Paul bringing these things to the forefront. And Paul said, this is not done in a corner. These things that I'm saying to you has not been hidden. It's not been done over in a corner where nobody knows about it. The king understands. The king's fully aware of what I have said. And, of course, haven't read all those things, but he knew that King Agrippa understood that. He said, believest thou the prophets? King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets, what he's saying? Do you believe the Old Testament? Do you believe the men of God? Do you believe the things that's written in the Scriptures? And then I like the way Paul answers for him. He says, I know that thou believest. He asked the question, he answered for him. He said, I know you understand. I know you believe about these things. And then, of course, King Agrippa said, almost, thou persuadest me. Here's a king that not only recognized the truth, but here's the king that resisted the truth. One thing to recognize it is another thing to accept it. There's a lot of people tonight across our country that recognize truth, but there are a lot of them that will resist truth. There's a lot of them that will do nothing when it comes down to the confrontation between them and the Word of God. And here we find that King Agrippa says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost, he said, but I'm resisting that tug and that pull. And I believe the persuasion of the Holy Spirit upon Agrippa's life. You see, the work of the Holy Spirit is not bound by what we think he might be. The Holy Spirit can deal and work with people, men and women's lives, as the Word of God is proclaimed and as the message is given. And certainly as you read this message about Paul and talking about his personal testimony, there in verse number 12 he talks about on the way to Damascus having authority. The Bible says, in commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above, brightness of the sun shining round about me and them that journeyed with me. And when we were fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? So we find that Paul is giving forth his testimony. And that's the best thing that any of us have when we deal with people about the Lord Jesus Christ, what the Lord has done for you. Now, I can't tell anybody what the Lord's done for you, but I can tell people what the Lord's done for me. And that's exactly what Paul was standing here declaring to these men before him. He says, and I said, who art thou, Lord? Verse 15, and he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. So here Paul preached unto this king, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he resisted the truth of the Word of God. Almost is not enough. It's a good verse, and many people have used that verse as a text verse to preach a message. But almost is a short thing. Almost is a terrible thing. To almost make it means you don't make it. To almost live means that you die. To almost survive means that you do not survive. And so that little word almost means it's lacking and there's not enough there. And here this king says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He knew what it meant to be a Christian. He had heard one speak in his ears. He knew what it meant to be a child of God, and he confessed that he was not one. Almost you persuade me to be like you, Paul. You're almost done that. And you see, he had heard the Word of God come from Paul's mouth. He had heard Paul's testimony. And as we mentioned this morning in the message, he had seen Paul's manner. He had known how that the Apostle Paul had had not been a troublesome prisoner. He had been falsely accused, and he's in. There's a two-year period of time there that is silent. Nothing is said. Nothing's given about Paul and the work, the time of his imprisonment. And he knew what Paul's manner of life was, and he knew what the message that Paul had given him. He knew about the Lord Jesus Christ, but he could not accept it. He said, almost. It's just not enough. I cannot go that far. Can you imagine the repercussions that would go on throughout the kingdom of the Roman Empire if King Agrippa had become a Christian? Can you imagine what turmoil and what struggle? And I tell you what, a lot of times that is what keeps people from becoming a Christian, is because what somebody else will say about them, or what somebody else will think about them, or I can't be a Christian and do my job. I can't be a Christian, live the way I'm living. And so I'm just almost persuaded. And so King Agrippa, if he had become a Christian, there'd have been, I'm sure, great repercussions throughout the Roman Empire. Changes in the king's conduct would have had to take place, and all those things that's connected with being a child of God. And so King Agrippa resisted the truth. The Lord says you do always resist, and there's a resistance that comes from every individual. I'll guarantee you there was a time that you resisted the truth. I thank the Lord for the power of the gospel that brought us to salvation. I thank God there comes a time, we as believers, there comes a time when that becomes an irresistible force upon us, and we believe and we accept. But there are times that we do resist. There are times that we say no, and God in His grace and mercy gives us another opportunity, but we don't find that with King Agrippa. I think Felix, when he trembled before the Lord, and by the way, he had heard the same message that Paul gave to Agrippa. Paul gives his testimony to Felix, and the Bible says he trembled. He's under conviction, and he turns from that. And here we find this man, King Agrippa. He recognizes the truth. Do you know the Scripture? I know you do. Paul says, you're not. You know our customs. You know all about this. And he mentioned even the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. I know you understand that, Agrippa. But Agrippa resisted the message of salvation. So here we have a king who recognized, a king that resisted, and now we have a king that renounces. Look in verse number 30 of chapter 26. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. I can just sort of in my mind's eye see that. Here's the governor. He's already made his statement. He said, Paul, you're mad. Paul, you're beside yourself. Festus, and he just goes off and says, this man's crazy. Now they've come to the end of Paul's message, and so the king rises up. That's Agrippa. The governor, that's Festus. And Bernice, that's Agrippa's wife. And then it says, and they that sat with them. You see, there's a whole group of people listening to this one Jewish man that's been accused of doing things that were, the Jews said, was worthy of death. And verse number 31, it says, and when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Agrippa dismisses it and renounces everything that he's heard. And he says, Paul might have been set free, but Paul has appealed to Caesar, and to Caesar he had to go. Paul had appealed to the highest court. He appealed to the highest man, and he now has to go to Rome. And here this man, King Agrippa, he renounces. Courtrooms adjourn now. They go and they talk among themselves. And they agree that the prisoner was innocent. but they do nothing about it. They agree that he's not worthy of being in prison or in bonds, but they send him to Caesar. You see, we look at that and say, well, they should have done this or they should have done that. Well, you see, in the plan of God, Paul had to go to Rome. Paul tried more than one time to go to Rome, and he never did get there the way he wanted to go. Paul wanted to go to Rome so badly. There was a group of people there that he desired to see. And there's a group of people there, there's a church there that Paul has written to. And we have it in our Bible called the Book of Romans. And Paul so desires to go to Rome. He so wanted, he prayed to go to Rome, and the Lord would not let him go. But now he's going under bonds, and he's going there as a prisoner. And because this is the perfect plan and the perfect will of God for Paul's life. But for sake of popularity and for sake of saving face and for realizing what might happen if they set him free, and they had the right to do that, I believe we find here a king and a governor and all those that were listening to Paul, they said, let's just push it off to somebody else. You see, that's what's happened in Paul's life all along. That's what's happened when he was before Felix, when he was before Festus. Now he's before Agrippa. Now he's going to before Caesar. Everybody pushes it off to someone else. And in doing that, I believe this King Agrippa, that was under conviction and said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, I believe he renounces and does away with any truth that might be in his life. And then we don't hear from him anymore. So in these three chapters of our Bible, chapter 24, 25, 26, we have two men that are gripped by the Spirit of God. Felix trembled. King Agrippa almost. And you have one man that says they're all crazy. Festus. He just says that Paul, you've got too much learning. And they tell us today we don't have enough learning. They reject our words because of different things. King Agrippa, I believe one day, as he entered into eternity, I believe he understood what Paul meant when he said, I wish he was altogether such as I. For the Bible declares if a person dies without God, without the Lord Jesus Christ, they die and go to hell. The rich man, Lazarus, the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Lazarus died, and the angels of heaven carried him into Abraham's bosom. There is a difference in eternity because of the difference of the way we live and the difference of who we accept and who we reject. King Agrippa recognized the truth. Sad story. He recognized what was truth. He resisted truth. And then he just pushed it off, renounced it, and said, let somebody else handle this problem. But you know, when a person dies, as we've studied this morning in our Sunday school time, we can just push it off so long. There comes a time that we will stand before a holy and a righteous God. Saved and lost, both will stand before God. We can't push it off anymore. The Bible says it's appointed a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. And so you and I, as believers, when we die, we can't push off anymore the things that God wants us to do and all the excuses we have why we don't do it or why we can't do it. You see, I believe we can do anything God wants us to do. If the Lord calls us to do something, then He equips us to do that. And so sometimes we push it off, we resist. But one day we'll stand to God and say and give an account of what we've done. Likewise, the lost man, the lost woman, will stand before God as they have heard the truth. Maybe they have been under conviction. Maybe they understand what it means to be saved, but they resist it. And they renounce it. And they continue in their life until they die, and they die without God. Oh, they don't mean to do that. A preacher, I'll get saved someday. I'll come to know the Lord sometime, but I just don't have time right now to live for God. They don't mean to die without God, but something takes place in their life. Their hearts become hardened, and sometimes they just never do think about it anymore. And then tragedy might come, They had all good intentions that they're going to get saved someday, but tragedy comes and the devil snatches their life away. And they spend all eternity in hell because they renounced, rejected the truth that once they heard. So it's important for you and I tonight as a believer that we tell everybody we can about Christ. It's everyone's point in time. He says not winner than any should perish, and he tells us to go into all the world, preach the gospel. There will be some that's confronted. There's some that will believe. There's some that'll be skeptical. There's some say we're mad. And there's some that'll just resist it altogether. But it does not make it any less responsibility to you and I that we do what the Lord tells us to do. We should not delay. In Acts chapter 17, verse 32, we'll hear you again on this matter. Acts chapter 24, verse 25, Felix trembled and said, a more convenient season, a more convenient time. Acts 26, 28, Agrippa said, almost. All three of those instances is putting it off to possibly renouncing and dying without God with no hope of heaven. May God help us to tell people there is a Lord, there is a Savior. There may be some and probably will be some that says, oh, you're beside yourself. You're crazy. That's not true. We're more educated today than that. We don't have to have all those archaic things. We don't need God. We don't need... They can tell you all those things. But one day, just remember, we'll all stand before God. I'd rather stand before Him as a believer, as one that has disbelieved and renounced the truth of God's Word. Let's stand together tonight.